Father, thank you that we can fellowship again this week and study together in 1 John. We ask for your presence and your spirit to dwell with us, among us, and in us, that we would understand and put into practice what John tells us we should do. In Jesus' name. Okay, so we are in 1 John chapter 4, the last two verses, and then 1 John chapter 5, the first five verses. And this is another one of those passages, even though there's 7-8 verses, that they don't go particularly theologically deep. They're very practical and easy to comprehend. Not quite as easy to do. So that's kind of what we'll be talking about. I enjoyed this quote I found this week from my favorite guy, Ben Witherington. Was speaking about this passage, and he said, somewhere along the line in Christian history, some have come to the conclusion that since salvation is by grace through faith, then obeying God and keeping commandments must be an optional added extra. Our author, meaning John, would break out in a rash if anybody had said this to him. And I think you'll see as we look at this section that the idea of obedience and keeping the commands that Jesus gave us is not in any way optional. It's essential and core to all that John says is involved in being a follower of Christ. So let's look at the first five verses. 1 John 4, 20 through 5, 3, and then we'll look at the last two in a few minutes. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. So we see there are three things that John ties inextricably together. They cannot be separated or divided. All right, that's if you have faith, which is you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, come in the flesh, then you will love God, you will love all of God's children, your brothers and sisters, and you will keep his commandments. And interestingly enough, John tells us what those commandments are, so that's what we're going to look at. Those are the three things that are tied absolutely together. And here's the essence of what's going on here in this passage. Our vertical relationship with God is intricately connected with our horizontal relationship with each other. This is why in the Great Commandment, we are told that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and what else? Our neighbor as ourselves. This is why we hear the petition in the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses, Lord, as we forgive those who trespass against us. See, those are tied together. Forgiveness from God and forgiveness for each other, which is, yeah, exactly. It's the expression of love up and down and side to side. Exactly. And it's right there in the Lord's Prayer. And it's not something new that John is just pulling out of the air here. Look what else it says. The vertical relationship with God cannot be severed or cut off from the horizontal relationship with brothers and sisters. The one reflects the other. The one is connected to the other. They're inextricably connected. It's not optional. It's not up to our choice. That makes it hard sometimes. But as we just said, John told us in chapter 5, verse 3 that we just read a minute ago, we are supposed to keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. It didn't say they were easy, but it did say it wasn't burdensome. It's not something that will weigh us down.
All right, so that would be like me saying, to love my wife is not burdensome. Not that it's not easy, but it's not burdensome.
Yeah.
It's that old quote I used to hear, he ain't heavy, he's my brother.
Yeah. Yes. That's actually, a secular song's application of these verses, that because someone is our brother or sister in Christ, that love makes the burden easier and lighter to bear. In fact, we're gonna look at some of the implications of how that works out. So, and please feel free to jump in, because this is all practical stuff here today. The word liar, that's in verse 20. It says, if you say you love God and don't love your brother or hate your brother, you're a liar. And generally, we look at that word liar as someone who doesn't speak the truth. And that is absolutely the general, normal translation for this word. But it also carries with it, in this context, the idea of a person whose actions contradict his words. We have a word for that in English. Someone whose actions contradict what they say?
Hypocrites.
Yes.
I saw that up there.
Yes.
On the song list.
Yes, yes, it was in our song this morning. Yes. So this idea is, you're a liar in that you're saying something that's not true, because John says you can't love God and not love your brother. But also, to say that makes you a hypocrite. Both of those ideas are contained here. Since God is the father of the family, and his very nature is love, chapter 4, verse 16, God is love, then it is one of our family traits for us to love God and our brothers if we are part of the family of God. See, we inherit that. It's a family trait. By the way, family traits aren't optional. You know, I inherited things from my parents, and I didn't get to choose which of those things to inherit or not inherit. They just come with the package. And that's the way love is. It is an essential part of who God is. So therefore, if we are followers of God, we inherit that family trait. We don't get to pick and choose. In John's worldview, there is no place for separating our theological reflection from our personal or social ethics. And remember, whenever you see the word ethics, you can substitute in your mind. That means behavior. Ethics is how you behave. So you cannot separate what you say you believe from how you act. Those two are connected.
Well, that old saying, actions speak louder than words.
Absolutely they do. Actions speak louder than words.
You can tell what I tell my kids all the time.
Actions drown out your words. They overwhelm your words. So if one has experienced divine grace, and we are if we are followers, one's life will reflect this in interactions with others. For John, true faith always leads to love for God and others, and true love always results in obedience. That's a sentence that ties those three ideas together that we saw in those first few verses.
John, to tie in with that, the Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs, says even a child is known by his doings. So we are known by what we do.
Not only that, but what we do reflects on our parent.
Yes.
Sometimes we reflect not so well on God. Isn't that true?
No.
That's a little thing that we carry with us, is the obligation and the fact, the legal word is that we have a testimony. Just as much as if we were standing in court before the judge. What we do sometimes reflects badly on our parent, sure. God.
Sure. And the family name.
You
know, our parents raised us that we will not dishonor our family name.
Yes.
To what you were saying. Because anything that does happen goes back to the parents.
Yeah.
The name.
Yeah. Yeah. Part of the real life application of that when we adopted Haley last week, the judge, as part of his proclamation of the adoption, said, you now are legally bound to this person that you have adopted, to Haley, just as if she were born to you. She has all the rights of a naturally born child.
She will equally inherit
with your children and bear your name. And he laid out these things that she's not in any way, shape, or form a lesser child. And we have the same thing, as we are adopted as God's children, and our brother is Jesus, who is God's son. And that's not something we're just making up and pulling out of the air.
That's right.
We are adopted and have, in God's eyes, we have become his children. Absolutely, just as if we were born that way.
Joint
heirs with Christ.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's the same kind of language the judge used. Mm-hmm. We are joint heirs.
Of course, we informed our kids they got a third of nothing.
Yes. I texted my oldest son, Michael, and says, well, you now have to divide our vast fortune with your new sister, which shouldn't change anything, except you might have to fight over which books you get. So that's the extent of our fortune. So,
there you go.
Yes.
Or which songs they want.
Yes. So the key to Christian identity, John has been insisting, is love. That's the key to who we are and to what we show to the world. The road to love, he now affirms, is paved with faith. He says, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ. He's tied this idea of love for God with faith in who Jesus is. Those two cannot be divided, because as he has taught us, this is what happens when you just go to this chapter and this verse and try and pull it out and say everyone who loves God is God's child. is that John has laid down the foundation ahead of time that who we believe Jesus is the foundation. And as we have that faith in accepting that Jesus Christ is God's Son come in the flesh, that is what adopts us into God's family. That faith is what makes us God's children. And all these things then flow from that. So it's paved with faith, and that it is instituted then with love. Love for God and love for each other. The central implication is that true faith leads to a particular quality and depth of love. This is not a hit and miss phenomenon, but a universal feature of faith. Everyone who believes, he's quoting this passage we just read, is affected by faith in this way. Believes what? Believes that Jesus is the Christ. And remember, we use that Christ as a name, but it's not. It's a title, and it means the Messiah, the Anointed One. So when John wishes to stress is that to believe is to have been acted upon in a dynamic, transformative way by God. It results first in love for God, and it results second in love for other believers. So transformation happens. Paul says, you are a new creation. Old things are passed away, and all things have become new. So John's not departing from in any way from the same things that Paul has said and laid out often in a clearer way than John does. John is focusing on a little bit on the emotion and the impact of our transformation. And Paul tends to be more didactic and enumerative in how he lays things out. But it's the same idea. You can't separate the two. So, in verse 2 and 3, John says, our love is tied with, if we love God, we will keep His commandments. Well, what commandments is he talking about? Fortunately, Jesus told us what those commandments are, and John, in those past 10 verses we've looked at, has laid out what the commandments are. And here it is. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. And what did John tell us back in those verses that we said? He says, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. And look at that. And this command we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. So what are the commandments John's talking about? Mm-hmm. We must love God and we must love our brothers. Mm-hmm. Those are the commandments. Slight detour for just 30 seconds. This is the hallmark of the church, that we love God and we love each other. This is the message of the gospel, that God loved us so much that he died for us, that Jesus came, shed his life, and through that sacrifice, our sins are forgiven. Churches, if you look at least across America, don't seem to have that as their central theme or their essence. And I'm so excited that our church does, that we have a pastor and we have elders that are committed to the idea that it's all about God's love. Our pastor this morning closed his message saying, you should go and give to the homeless and the needy and say, I'm doing this in Jesus' name because Jesus loves you, I love you. It's exactly what John is saying here.
I love how the Holy Spirit works, that usually pastor's sermons coincide with what we're learning in here.
Yes.
It's happened more than once.
Now, there are things that we can hold to as beliefs. I'm just going to use as examples. We can believe that abortion is wrong, and it is. We can believe that gay marriage is wrong, and it is. But is that what the church is about? Why is that the message we're hearing from Christian churches and not what our pastor said this morning and not what John says? That Jesus died for us, that God loves us, and that we love each other. And not only do we not just love only each other, but Jesus said to love our neighbors. And when someone said, who is our neighbor? That's when he gave the story of the Good Samaritan. Our neighbor is someone who's in need that God loves. Doesn't have to be just a believer. In fact, Jesus said to love our enemies. And as Steve Brown likes to say, he told us to love our neighbors and he told us to love our enemies sometimes because they're the same people. All right. So that's the way God's love works. Did God only love the believers?
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
That he didn't only love the believers.
Because did Jesus not say, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us while we were sinners.
I didn't have to change.
He
took me just as I am.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish. That's the message we have. And we need to not get sidetracked on all those other things that are so easy to focus on. All right, so let's finish this thing up. By the way, I love this verse 3. It's my favorite. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Jesus does not weigh down his people with meaningless laws that do not affect the heart. See, Jesus came to fulfill the law and give us grace. And grace is not at all about following rules. Mm-hmm. Remember the quote that we had last week. To think that you can make God love you more by what you do is the same as trying to think you can improve the Hallelujah Chorus with your kazoo playing. You can't. See, God loves you all he can already. And it's not based on what we do, because then we would deserve it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For by grace are we saved.
Yes.
It works.
There's nothing we can do to deserve grace. So he gives commands that reveal to us the heart of God and direct our hearts to God. Jesus offers us an easy yoke and a light burden. We don't have a whole set of rules. There's no rules that Jesus gave that says, if you want to follow me, here are the rules you have to keep. Mm-hmm. He didn't do that. And that should cause us to dwell on that idea and stop and think about that idea. He didn't give us a set of rules. He told us to love God and love each other. And this is what Jesus said. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. We don't have to have a set of rules. We just have to love God. And why don't we need a set of rules? Because what happens when we accept with faith that Jesus is God's Son come in the flesh, that he died for us? What does God do? What happens?
Say that again.
Are you talking about the salvation component of that?
What happens with the salvation that we receive? When we acknowledge and accept and believe with faith, and we're going to talk about faith and believe, maybe we'll do that next week because it fits in right here. We receive the Holy Spirit. That's what John tells us. He says, how do we know that we belong to God? Because he has given us his Spirit. Mm-hmm. And that's the way that we know. And why do we not need a set of rules? Because God dwells in us. The Holy Spirit is God, correct? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And does he come and dwell in us?
Yes.
And he transforms our life? Mm-hmm. And one of the things he is there for is so that God can get our attention and know when we do well and when we don't. Mm-hmm. And to move us, as Pastor Tim said, we should tell that man, I'm giving you this gift because God told me to. Mm-hmm. God tells us to do things. And one of the things that John has just said is he tells us to love each other and to love our enemies. In essence, that we should love everyone. We are God's ambassadors, as Tim said, mm-hmm. his representatives. And so, just as God loves everyone, we don't get to pick and choose whether we do that or not. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's part of the package. It's part of the family.
Even if we don't want to love them.
That's exactly right.
John, going back to that comment, God tells us, I like to use the logic or the phraseology, God stirred my heart, prompted me to, pricked me.
Yes.
Good. Because when we talk the Christianese, God's telling me to do.
Yeah, he may not have used words. Yes.
Yes, 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 yes. So
you might be burdened or pricked or nudged.
Yeah, but you can say God is the one that stirred that emotion.
Absolutely.
God
and brought me the compassion to do.
Yes.
Because then it becomes an outward flow of man to man. Relationship to relationship. Anyway.
Because in our own nature, we are selfish. Seek only what's best for us, and giving and loving other people is not that. So it must come from God.
And then I'll jump back a little further. You're talking about the Holy Spirit. So even when our previous study, chapter 3, verse 19, by this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our heart before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if your heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him.
Yes.
So, although it's referring to God, it's that Holy Spirit of God that is bearing witness with our heart and us back and forth. Mm.
So, we're going to stop here. We have two verses left, verses 4 and 5 of chapter 5, and we have the lesson on faith and belief, and that is what we're going to do next week. And then we will take 3 more weeks to finish chapter 5 of 1 John. Mm-hmm. So we will finish
good lesson, sweetie.
Before everything is done, before the end of May.
Tomorrow looks good.
All right.
Okay. Christopher,
yeah.
Would you pray for us?
Yeah. Well, we're so glad that your commands are not burdensome. You teach us to love one another. Help us, please, to walk in that. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.
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 See you all next week.